Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you by God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's word today is our psalm, Psalm 111. If you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday, what would your life look like? I thought about that this week, and I was amazed at all of the blessings that I take for granted. Physical blessings like health and family, friends, food, clothing, safety, and the more important, eternal blessings of peace with God, sins forgiven, purpose in life, eternity with God. Often we forget to thank and praise God for all he has done for us. Lest we forget, our words engraved on memorial stones around the world. Most often they're found on military memorials, which recall battles and wars and those who fought in them. This reminder is necessary because the passage of time makes it easy to forget the people who gave their lives, the lessons we should learn, and the fact that war in any form causes tremendous suffering and loss. The words are even more meaningful when you know their original context. In 1897, Rudyard Kipling composed a poem for the celebration of Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee called Recessional. His poem expressed pride in the accomplishments and prominence of the British Empire, but it also expressed the fear that the empire might go the way of all previous empires. As a student of history, Kipling recognized a reoccurring theme. When nations rise to power, they tend to become proud and forget God. With this background, here's the second verse of Kipling's poem. The tumult and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, a humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Kipling points out that while it is tragic to forget the lessons we should learn from the people who have gone before us, it is a far greater tragedy to forget the lessons and promises of our God and to give him thanks and praise. And praise is what Psalm 111 is all about. It belongs to a category of psalms known as the Hallels, since it begins with the Hebrew word Hallelujah, which means praise Yahweh, or praise the Lord is where it used to seem. Yahweh, the name we translate as Lord with all capital letters, was God's special name in the Old Testament. It reminded the people he was the God who is. He always has and always will exist. He always has and always will be faithful. This special name reminded God's people they had a God of free and faithful grace who would never change and who would always do what he promised in his word. And so, right from the start of this psalm, we are reminded of one of the reasons to praise the Lord is simply because he is the Lord. It's interesting also that after the initial call to praise the Lord at the beginning of this psalm, the rest of the song of praise is written as an acrostic, which means that each line of the psalm begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's almost as if the writer wanted to remind us that from A to Z, we have a lot of reasons to praise the Lord. Let's consider those as we walk through the text today. The psalmist says in verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them." The vastness of our universe, do we ponder that? The beauty of a sunset, the complexity of the human body. All these things are the work of God, our Creator. In a world that often tries to write God out of it, God's works testify he exists and that he's amazing. As we're told in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. But it's not just the work of creation that gives us reason to praise. We're told in verse 3, glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. The things God has done since creation are just as beautiful and awe-inspiring. The work of preserving this world, feeding this world, and meeting the sin of this world with his compassion, well, that's not something we should gloss over as we praise him. His preservation of our physical lives and his rescue of our spiritual lives, they are amazing. Jesus said, God causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It was from Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. And speaking of righteousness, humanity's righteousness, our perfection did not stand forever. In fact, our human race fell quickly into sin and lost our standing with God. But God's perfection never fails and stands forever. And through faith in Christ, it covers those who believe so that God can see us as holy once again. And verse 4 reminds us, this psalm reminds us that in this truth about God, well, that's something our Lord has reminded us again and again. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Why does God do this? Because we humans do forget, lest we forget. The things God has done for this lost world and for the people he calls out of it to be his own are nothing short of miracles, wonders. He reminds us of those every time we read his word and see the things he did for the people of this world throughout history. The history of this world really is history in the sense of being his story, God's story, which teaches us of the grace and compassion of a God who loves the undeserving and seeks them when they run the other way. He reminds us again and again because he knows that he must, or we will forget. We see this great truth play out over all the pages of the scripture and over all the pages of our lives, don't we? When we are at our worst, God is at his best. He searched out Adam and Eve when they hid in their shame after the fall into sin. And he restored them and promised them a Savior. He guarded his saving truth in the line of the Savior from a world in rebellion when he rescued Noah and his family in the midst of a global flood. The Lord met the bitterness and sorrow of his people Israel in Egypt with miracles and mercy and deliverance from slavery. He met their grumbling in the desert with discipline, but also compassion as he fed them on their journey. And despite his people's frequent rebellion and thankless attitudes, he did not forget his promise to help them. His promise to send them, to send this world, a Savior through them. And in that Savior, in Jesus, we see the fulfillment of this psalm. In verse 9, we're told, he provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. God's ultimate redemption of his people came when he entered this world as a man and kept the covenant, the promise he had made to undo their sin and the eternal destruction it had brought with it. Jesus provided redemption for us as he laid down his life on the cross and then took it up again on Easter morning. Holy and awesome is his name. The name of Jesus means the Lord saves, and that's just what he did. When we pause to remember his wonders, we can't help but confess, great are the works of the Lord. Verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Wisdom and understanding come from the Lord. Love, honor, and respect of our awesome Creator and putting him first in our lives. This is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This was repeated in Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and is the starting point for wisdom. It clearly shows that putting God first in your life is the wisest thing you can possibly do. Look, I know that you have many days where this seems hard to remember. Days where it's easier to find things to complain about than to be thankful for. I've had weeks where it feels like nothing I do goes right, where I'm letting everyone down around me, or they're letting me down. Health and medical problems are a daily issue with my family, and I know that many of you or your loved ones struggle with health as well. Financial concerns, as the price of everything goes through the roof. And if that weren't enough, just watching the news these days can be depressing. And I see the anger in people's faces and on their social media as our nation draws up political and social battle lines, as our freedom to practice our faith comes under attack. I know that these things can very easily occupy our thoughts and push the works of the Lord far from our minds. Doom and gloom are rampant today, just as it was when Jesus was on earth. But the fact that we so easily can become pessimistic about this life is the very reason why we need to hear again and again how our God gives us so many reasons to be optimistic as we face difficulties in life, and as we consider the big picture of our existence. God knows exactly what he is doing. He has a plan. When we pause to reflect, when we stop to study and ponder his word, when we taste his forgiveness at the altar and hear his blessing pronounced upon us, that's when our pessimism gives way to praise. That's how our daily list of complaints can transform into a daily list of thanks. When my girls were younger, each November for Thanksgiving, we would put up a thankful tree. It was a stylized outline of a tree on a large poster board on the wall. And each day of the month of November, we would sit down as a family and each put something on the tree that we were thankful for. Now, after the obvious ones were put up in the first few days, it really made you think about all the things there are to be thankful for. And also, that unless you consistently think about it, it is easy to forget about all the good things that God has given us and to find things to complain about instead. And remembering God's great works is what will cause you to respond with praise. Praise here in church, as the psalmist wrote, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. What a joy to gather with others and remind one another that while life does not always go how we plan or how we want, we do have a God who stands above it all and offers hope and purpose for his people. And our praise for God doesn't simply stop after church is over. You'll praise the Lord in your life as you tremble in wonder and awe before his word and marvel at who he is and what he's done. You'll find as you study his word that you're better equipped to face life's challenges with confidence and to confront your sins and your fears and your frustrations with the strength God provides and the mercy he freely gives. And even after this life ends, our praise to God will not. Because of Jesus, you have an eternity waiting for you with the Lord, a new heaven and a new earth where you will live forever and praise forever, because forever is the only amount of time that will ever be adequate to thank God and praise him for all he has done in creating us and redeeming us and sustaining us on the way home. Lest we forget, we are reminded throughout this psalm, but especially in the closing words, his praise endures forever. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.